Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Hello, everyone. This is the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you, as always, from my Fortress Americana, from the war room of that fortress in the heart of Cascadia. The date is August 8th, 2022. And this is the Tribute to Reese episode. As some of you may have known, based on my, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that Reese, the world's greatest canine hiking companion, died on Saturday. And I figured I'd talk a little bit about that, especially since the fact that I now have a glass of Dark and Stormy in front of me. I figured I might as well knock this podcast out before the evening gets a little too late. So I was over at the local whiskey distillery, enjoying a cigar, enjoying the weather. Was about to go to a minor league baseball game and got a call from Marie, who is Reese's elderly owner and my old neighbor back when I was living in the central part of the state. And I knew when she called something bad had happened. And don't ask me why, I just figured that the news was going to concern Reese of one kind or another. And she told me that he had died that morning and his death had come very suddenly. He was, you know, for all intents and purposes, doing all right. And then he was starting to behave very strangely, and he was breathing very weird, and then his tongue was turning blue. And I'm not going to go on. It's not like there was gruesome details, but basically she realized something was wrong, got him in the car, was driving him over to the nearby metro area, which is the only place where she could find a vet that was open on the weekends. And essentially he died in the car en route to the vet's place. So, you know, some people have reached out to me to see how I'm doing. I appreciate that a lot. And the answer is actually I'm doing better than one would think. And there's reasons for that. And the reason really is I knew this day was going to come and I'd already mentally and emotionally prepared for it. And in fact, the reality is I thought it was going to be much worse. I thought my fear was that Reese was going to get a cancer or I thought his death was going to come slowly and it was going to put a lot of pressure on Marie, his owner, to, you know, basically put him down. And that she was going to agonize over the decision and I was, you know, she obviously would have been, just because of the way our relationship works, she would have involved me in the decision. You know, asked me like, what should I do? And, you know, this is stuff I thought about actually, because I was like thinking that if this is going to happen, I need to kind of mentally prepare for this. And depending, if it had been truly where Reese was in pain or he was suffering, I would have, you know, advised her to put Reese down. And if I was going to say that, I was going to be prepared to take him to the vet myself. Because I wasn't going to have her do it. So my thought is I was going to be there with Reese when his time came and that I was going to have to, you know, he wasn't going to just die. It was going to have to be something that was done for out of just being compassionate towards him. So this really came out better than it was the best situation that we could expect. And this was a dog, mind you, that was over 10 years old. He was a purebred golden retriever. These dogs have health problems. If he had lived longer, he would have been able to basically not move. They have they're notorious for having hip problems. It just would not have worked, turned out well. And this is really just, in my opinion, the best way for him to go out. And also, nobody had to make a decision. Marie did not have to make a decision about whether to keep him alive or not. I didn't have to, you know, give my advice and kind of agonize over what I wanted to say. And I didn't have to be there and you know, watch. It's like, now, this is another thing that occurred to me while I was writing back home today, because I was thinking about what I was going to say on this podcast. It could have also been worse in the sense that I used to live near them and I worked from home. So if he was having problems, it's very likely that Marie would have called me up and said, you want to, he's having health problems. You want to come with me to the vet. I probably would have, you know, if I'd been available, I would have said yes. I would have hopped in the car, been back there. And I very well likely, if I had not moved, I would have been, you know, he basically would have been, not to get too melodramatic, but he very well could have died, you know, on my lap. So probably not the best course or outcome that I would have hoped. I'm glad I wasn't there. So I was chatting with Marie about it, and she was doing as best as possible. You know, it's going to be a difficult transition, but I think one of the things we were discussing was how kind of idyllic the situation was for both of us. And all, for those of you who are really not familiar, I'm assuming there's quite a few of you. I met Marie and Reese a couple months after I'd moved into the community I was living in. I was living in this agricultural community near a Bavarian tourist town called Leavenworth, not Leavenworth, Kansas, the prison, but go Google Leavenworth, Washington. And I'd been thinking about getting a dog, and I went to the Humane Society, and I was being very sober-minded about it. And so I was asking very specific questions. I was asking them for the brass tacks, like what does it take to be, I didn't just want to be a dog owner. I wanted to be a good dog owner, and I wanted to treat the animal well. So I was asking very specific questions, like what does it take to be a good dog owner? And also, like, what are reasonable expectations that I can have? And one of the things they said is it's a 24/7 job. Everything you do in your life revolves around taking care of them, because unlike cats, dogs are emotionally dependent on humans. They do not survive well without either other dogs or humans. They've been, especially golden retrievers have been bred to be a companion for a human, but they need they need to be in a relationship with a human. Golden retrievers do not do well without humans. That's just how they've been bred. That's how they are. And there's good things for that. There's advantages, and there are good things that come out of that, as I'll get into. But one of the downsides is you have to be around them all the time, and you have to basically maintain, and when I say maintain, like you got to take them out walking, you got to keep them physically fit, you've got to exercise them or they go crazy, all these other things. You got to have a fully fenced yard, it costs money, and if you're going to get a younger one, you want to train it. If it's an older one, you got to make sure it's been trained well, like all these things. And I said, you know what, I'm not ready to commit to this kind of thing. I'm glad that I'm aware of that before I made a decision. So I met Marie, and we were just kind of friendly neighbors, and, you know, she was this elderly lady, and, she was she's kind of a funny character. And I was just trying to get to know people in my community. And I was telling her, I think, about my story about the Humane Society. And she goes, well, I have a dog named Reese, and I really can't take him out walking a whole lot because she's, you know, he's just, or hiking or whatever. I can't give him a lot of exercise because of just, you know, her age. She goes, do you want to take him out hiking? So I met Reese, and I took him out hiking up this place called Icicle Ridge. And I actually have a photo of the first hike I took him on. I wasn't smiling for whatever reason. I was trying to look serious or serious minded. But, it was the first interaction I had with Reese. And it ended up becoming, as to quote Casablanca, the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Because as Marie and I were chatting about, it was very idyllic for both of us, because she couldn't really take him out hiking to get the exercise that he needed. And you know, because he's a golden retriever, they're hunting dogs. And I was really not capable of taking care of a dog 24/7. And Marie is a bit of, you know, I'd say she's a bit of a homebody now. She maintains her house and she works on stuff and she's kind of just involved in the community. So she was able to just stick around and have Reese around all the time, you know, like having him live with her. And I would get to go take him out and get exercise whenever. So by the time he got back home, he would just fall asleep either in his kennel or on the living room floor. And so that was really, it was the best of both worlds, where one of us wasn't able to do something for Reese, but the other one could. And, you know, she was able to take care of the medical stuff and make sure he was staying healthy, you know, as far as going to the vet. I was able to make sure that he was staying physically fit by going out and exercising. And, you know, he didn't really have any hip problems while he was alive, which is really remarkable. I think it was probably because he was getting more exercise than he probably needed. One of the things that, you know, and here's the reason, you know, people... I was discussing earlier about dogs and how they're emotionally dependent on humans. And I was talking about the downsides. Here's the upside to this. Especially with, I'd say with Reese, but most golden retrievers, they are very, personable animals. And what I mean by that is they have very, very, they have a variety of expressions. Like cats don't really smile. They have the same look the whole time. So you really can't read them very well. Whereas dogs kind of wear their emotions on their sleeves. They tell you whether they're upset. They tell you that you can tell when they're upset. You can tell when they're happy. You can tell when they're confused. You're able to read them and they get to read you, because dogs pick up a lot on human emotions and emotional energy and all that kind of stuff. So I got to really know this dog very well. I knew what his quirks, his personality. If we were in the car for too long, he'd freak out. He could get very anxious. I could tell when he's just like, I want to get out of this car and start hiking. Like, what are we doing here? I could tell when he was just not into wanting to go any further on a hike, when he wanted to quit. And other stuff like that. And I would always pass by their house, you know, Marie's house, on the way to the post office. And he would run up to the fence and be like just desperate to go on a hike or something like that. So, you know, it was, and I knew this a couple years into taking Reese out. Like, it's probably a relationship with a dog that I'll never have again. I might have my own dog at some point, but it's not going to be the same as one where I really didn't have to deal with the responsibilities of taking care of the dog the way that Marie did. So I don't think that I may have dogs and they may be good dogs. It's just not going to be the same relationship, and that's fine. It's not good or bad better or worse in that regard. But I also knew, you know, there were a couple times when I was hanging out with Reese and we were on top of some mountain or we were out at some lake and I was tossing him stuff and we were just sitting there in the sun, and I realized, like, you know, I could tell when he was getting older, like, this is not going to last forever. And, you know, you got to enjoy those moments and appreciate them, because one day that other side is going to be gone. And, you know, you move on with your life, but your things are changed, you know? So not having Reese as a hiking companion is definitely, you know, changed stuff. I haven't really done any I've done some hikes, but haven't really done any hikes since, for the most part, since I left, I moved to the new place that I live at in the heart of Cascadia. But it's a lot different hiking with a dog compared to, you know, hiking by yourself or hiking with other people. You know, one of the nice things about dogs is they always get excited over everything. They're always eager to do stuff. They're very enthusiastic, or at least Reese was. Reese was a very enthusiastic dog, and I got a lot of his different expressions I got photos of, because I was always taking pictures of him because he was such a photogenic dog. So my plan is to come up with a photo album of Reese's different moods for Marie, so that way she has that. Because she, you know, they were saying, "Do you want it? You know, we've cremated him. Do you want that in an urn or whatever?" And she goes, "No, I'd rather have pictures of him alive rather than his rather than his ashes on my mantelpiece." So I guess the takeaway for this, for people, and this is just my thoughts on this, is that, and this doesn't apply to dogs or pets, this is just a universal philosophical principle. I'd say, I'm not saying once in a lifetime, but there are times in your life when something or someone will come into it. And I even wrote an essay about this. It had to do with humans, of course. It was about the life lessons from Cowboy Bebop. It's on the Masculine Geek site. You're smart people. You'll figure it out. You have the Googles, the Google gods. You'll be able to hunt it down. Life lessons from Cowboy Bebop. And one of them is about Ed, who's the young girl who's a computer hack. And then she is with the Bebop for a while, and then she disappears. And the life lesson from that is there are people who come into your life and they, or in this case, a dog, and they provide a blessing and they're a positive influence on your life and they have a meaningful relationship, but it's not there to last. It's not there to last. You know, and I knew that with Reese, in part because he's a dog and he was older and he was a purebred, so I knew his life on this planet was not going to go on for much longer. But for a lot of you, you're going to have someone or you know, maybe it's a pet, maybe it's an animal, maybe it's a person. They come into your life and they change it for the better, but they're not going to be there forever. And I'd say in many cases, that is how it is, because they go on to other jobs, or maybe it's some gal you're dating, or, you know, if you're a gal dating a guy, and it just doesn't work out, and they got to go somewhere else, or just not compatible. It doesn't always have to end in a nuclear explosion. And sometimes it can end where you just realize your lives are going on different trajectories and it's time to part ways, but it doesn't end on a bad note the way like Reese dying didn't. I'm not like traumatized by it. It's also not like somebody did anything wrong. It's just a natural event in life. Death occurred. But the key part of that is to appreciate it and recognize it for what it is while you are in the moment. You know, the worst thing is to have that stuff in front of you, not appreciate it when it's there, and then only later after it's gone, the relationship of whatever kind it is, and you look back and say, man, I wish I had known what I know now because I would have appreciated it or done more to get more fulfillment out of the relationship. You know, you would have done something differently. There's nothing I would have done differently knowing if I'd known Reese was going to die this Saturday. If I'd known that 2 years ago, I really wouldn't have done anything differently because I did everything. I went on as many hikes as humanly possible. He was getting older, so I couldn't take him on a whole lot of hikes anymore. You know, I visited him back in March when it was wintertime. It was bad weather, and then it got really hot. So there wasn't any opportunities for me to take him hiking. And I took him on all the different hikes that was possible. So I got as much out of that interaction with Reese as any man could have, and there's nothing to look back on. There's no attitude that I look back on that except with fondness, and you know, I'll miss him, I think, and obviously that's the case, but it's not like some sort of painful recollection. It's this kind of thing you look back on and you smile. There was nothing left on the table. There was nothing that I should have done differently. There's not a what it, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, or what if I'd done something differently that maybe you comes up more with human relationships. People really need to be not only on the lookout for those opportunities, but also recognize them when they occur, and appreciate them while they last. So on that note, I think that'll be kind of all I got to say on Reese. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.